sleepyhead.
I'm not letting you go to work today.
Wait, what?
Everybody, listen up.
Welcome to The Drive.
Morning, morning, morning.
You're going to talk.
Get on the phone at 339-1140.
Pretty awesome, huh?
Jump in on our text line at 44-1140.
Everyone is talking about it. You must know that.
The Drive starts now.
All right, while I was gone yesterday, I didn't get a chance to talk to you all. The father of Spider-Man and the X-Men and Incredible Hulk, Iron Man, Thor. Yes, I know there were other people involved, nerd, so get off me. Stan Lee passed away at 95. Sometimes we'll occasionally play a clip from Mike Francesa, formerly of Mike and Mad Dog, thought of as the greatest sports host or part of the greatest sports talk show team of all time. Here was Mike yesterday, or maybe it was the day before, when a caller asked him about his reaction to Stan Lee's passing.
Eddie in Hoboken, what's up, Eddie?
Hey, what's up, Mike?
What's happening?
Hey, Mike, Stan Lee died today. Did you ever meet the guy? What do you think of him?
Stan Lee?
Yeah, Stan Lee.
I don't know who he is. Don't know who he is, no.
Jesus.
Who is he? Who is he? Who is Stan Lee?
He was one of the creators of Marvel Comics.
Oh, who cares? I mean, I'm sorry, I'm not a comic book guy. Is that who he is, Stan Lee?
The guy created Spider-Man. That was his big thing.
Oh, created Spider-Man? Sorry.
Good job, Mike. Out of bed. Listen, Mike is a big clown and has done a ton in this business, and I do respect that. I do. The biggest problem I have with that whole thing is not that he didn't know who Stan Lee was, but then after finding out who Stan Lee was, like, who cares? And not like he should be sad no matter who dies and he's being insensitive. It's that who cares? That was about, come on, it's comic books. Who cares? Come on, hey, nerds. Come on, dorks. Who cares? Okay. That's the type of condescension that we get out of sports media that I absolutely can't stand. So, yeah, you have people whose superheroes are in capes and have superpowers and all that. Mike, you've made millions of dollars off of watching a bunch of dudes run up and down a floor. Those are your superheroes.
Yes.
And many of which are not role models and don't set examples for kids, whereas almost all heroes, if not all heroes in comic books, like that. They have a moral center. You're not going to hear like, well, hey, Spider-Man, another news. Spider-Man got caught drinking and driving the other night. He'll be out for 4 games. You know, you don't hear that.
Right.
Maybe Spider-Man got taken over by an alien and ended the world, but it's a comic book. I don't like that disdain. Nerds.
Yeah, who cares?
Who cares?
A lot of people.
A lot of people.
Somebody put on Twitter, posed the question, like, who has had a bigger influence on popular culture in the United States and maybe even the world than Stan Lee?
I would put Stan Lee up with, I mean, like, you're talking like the Beatles or Elvis,
yeah,
or, you know, in that stratosphere from music.
And I know he didn't write and draw all of the comics.
Sure.
But he started all the Marvel things, the MCU.
Dude, it's not like he just invented Spider-Man.
Right. He did all of that.
That's actually...
Like it started with him.
That's actually a great question is, who? Give me somebody in sports history that has had a greater influence or as great an influence on popular culture.
Michael Jordan's the only one close.
Jordan.
Only one close.
Maybe Ali. Maybe. But Ali's influence wasn't necessarily commercial. It was political, and there was a lot of that.
Sure.
Yeah, I think Jordan.
That's it.
That's about it. All right, this Warrior stuff. Okay, so here's my take, and then Kyle's going to untake me. I've seen this too many times when it comes to dynastic squads. Whether it's Kobe and Shaq hating each other in the mid-2000s, Michael Jordan getting into it with Steve Kerr and the rest of the team, Bill Belichick and Tom Brady can't stand each other. You go on and on and on. And I absolutely buy that KD and Draymond got into it. I absolutely buy that they're pissed at each other. I absolutely buy that KD could be gone next year. I buy all of that. That's all very true. Mm-hmm. What I don't buy into is a storyline that's being run because it fills sports radio that Warriors could be in trouble. Warriors could be in trouble. This could be the crack in the armor and did it. No. This is something, in my belief, and Pat Riley wrote about this, The Disease of More. The book that he wrote was fantastic. When you have super successful teams, these guys get bored. They do things like, I don't know, coach the game from the bench, I believe, versus the Suns last year. Mm-hmm. They do all kinds of – they coast. They lose games they shouldn't lose. You look up in the middle of the season, you're like, oh, my God, the Patriots / Lakers / Warriors, they're in trouble. And then they reel off 90,000 straight, and they win. I have no doubt in my mind, barring injury, these guys are going to win the title this year, and everything's going to be fine. And I also have no doubt in my mind – in fact, I know this – that this isn't the worst skirmish they've gotten into this year, and it's nothing close. Well, it's not as bad as some of the stuff they got into last year, and David West alluded to that, said this was a very trying year for many reasons. I'm not going into it.
Mm-hmm.
This has been going on. Let's not forget that it was Draymond Green sitting in his car after they lost to the Cleveland Cavaliers that called Kevin Durant. Let's not forget that he was the one that led the way in recruiting Kevin Durant. Right. Let's not forget the fact that Draymond Green is an emotional guy and will get into everybody's face.
So here's my counter to that.
Sure.
Draymond Green was at the forefront of that long process mm-hmm. of recruiting Kevin Durant. It wasn't one time. When he called him after Game 7 in the finals, it wasn't the first time they talked.
Sure.
Draymond Green is not on a max deal. And he said in a story that ESPN put out several months ago that part of the reason he didn't want to take a max deal was so they could sign Kevin Durant.
Right.
Draymond Green is going to get a max deal somewhere this offseason.
Think so?
Yes.
Okay. And even if Durant stays?
Yeah, he's going to get one somewhere.
Okay.
So, Draymond Green is already playing under the idea that I'm making less than I deserve. Now he's got Kevin Durant messing up his money. Now he's got Kevin Durant in the organization babying Kevin Durant. And that's messing Draymond's money up. And that's the difference in the Shaq Kobe thing, Michael Jordan getting into fist fights with his teammates at practice, the Spurs doing, you know, messing with each other's AI.
But is Kevin
AI
Durant really, how is Kevin
whatever.
Durant messing with his money?
Because Kevin Durant is the one who sparked this whole thing by mm-hmm. wanting the basketball with 5 seconds left. And
by the way, he was right. By the way, I've watched that. Draymond Green was at half court and had four Clippers within about
But I think that was his goal. I think he knew the Clippers weren't going to get set on defense because if you look,
yeah.
Kevon Looney is streaking to the basket mm-hmm. with Lou Williams between him and the rack.
You have one guy covering four Warriors. And I think Kevin Durant was saying, dude, give the ball up.
Right, but he was going to slowly walk it up and then take a 35-foot three.
Who Draymond Green was?
No,
Kevin Durant.
Kevin Durant.
Well, I think,
so. I would rather Kevin Durant have the ball in that situation for sure.
Uh-huh.
But you can see what Draymond was doing, and you can see why he was doing it. If you go watch the,
I'm trying to roll with you.
I can't believe I'm saying this. I agree with what Isaiah Thomas said last night on NBA TV.
Yeah,
like the play was there. It was Lou Williams guarding Andre Iguodala and Kevon Looney.
Mm-hmm.
And Shai Gilgeous-Alexander poked the ball away. Like that, mm-hmm.
that stuff happens.
So the Warriors now, because Draymond Green got in Kevin Durant's face and was yelling at him.
Called him the B word a whole lot of times.
Like,
question is
like
free agency.
Draymond Green was like Kevin Durant's mentions personified.
Yeah. And Kevin didn't have a burner account to yell back at Draymond
right.
for him.
He's like, hey, Andre, go say this.
Andre Burner Dalla.
So the organization now is saying, Draymond, you went too far. We're suspending you for a game without pay because we're trying to get Kevin Durant back.
I understand that perspective.
The fact that people's money is getting messed with.
But Draymond Green's also the guy that many think cost the Warriors that title versus the Cleveland Cavaliers.
Uh-huh.
Draymond Green has multiple previous offenses, and Draymond Green was in Kevin Durant's face in the huddle in front of God and everybody, calling him
the
B word.
It's not the first time that's happened.
That's my point. That's my point. So do you handle this?
So what about this time was different?
Because do you handle it in November, and do you send a message, dude, you can't do this? Like, you can't throw these tantrums all the time. Eventually, it's going to bite you.
But it's not all the time.
Oh, but
it happens. It happens sometimes, and they know that with Draymond Green.
Sure.
And they know that by having him on the team.
And I think they deal with it on the plane, and I think they deal with it in the locker room, and I think they deal with it on the team bus. But when it is in front of TV cameras and everybody, and you're openly insubordinate to everyone, not that he's a subordinate to Kevin Durant, but to the coaching staff, to everybody else, and DeMarcus Cousins.
Oh, dang, you took my joke.
Has to calm you down.
That's why they have DeMarcus Cousins, because he is a peacekeeper.
Yes.
They need somebody with a cool, level head
right.
to jump in there.
Yes. He's the John Lennon of basketball. Just what peace and love.
What it looks like is happening in that exchange is Draymond is saying all this awful stuff about Kevin Durant, like he's a this and he's a that, and DeMarcus is like, I know.
Right.
Yeah, I agree.
Right.
I know he is.
Probably. Probably. And I, for one, can't wait till next year. When we're watching on ESPN or TNT, the Kevin Durant and insert team's first
Knicks.
Visit to Golden State.
Yep.
And you're going to see this cupcake stuff, and you're going to see all this, and you're going to see Draymond and Kevin Durant going at it just like Russell Westbrook and Kevin Durant, but probably worse than Russ and KD. In the meantime, they're going to win an NBA championship this year.
I don't know, man.
Yeah, okay. I understand
we'll
you.
Well, see, until I see differently, I agree with you, but these next few games are going to be interesting.
No, there won't.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No, they won't. These next few games are going to be games in November.
No.
When the Warriors are fighting for the 8th seed in June.
I'm very fascinated.
Do you remember last year when we got caught
up?
Hey,
this is a King Station.
I understand. Do you remember last year when we got caught up in the whole, wow, Cleveland, man?
Why did we hire a Warriors fan?
Uh-huh.
The Kings won yesterday.
Hey, the Cavs aren't going to make it out of the East, dude. Oh, God. They're done. We finally bought into that. This is like that times 100.
No, you bought it. I did not buy into that.
We are a team, Kyle. We'll take a break.
I just don't understand why the Kings Station is hiring Warriors fans.
I don't either. Well, but Eunice is, she keeps her Warrior fandom to herself.
She does.
And that's fine. When we get back, four down territory. Four down territory for ya. We'll talk about that next. We've got questions about Le'Veon Bell, the Chiefs and Rams. And Kyle put in an Alabama question for you. And then we will get into your Sacramento Kings. And we will celebrate the Save the Crew group from Columbus. The Columbus crew are staying in Columbus. And
historical.
It's historical.
First time it's ever happened.
Fans fighting against a league and winning, according to SB Nation.
Really cool to see a city stand up to keep their team.
Yes.
It's the first time.
Groundbreaking.
Ever.
Ever. We're back in a couple. Sports 1140 KHDK.
It's time for four down territory. On the drive. First down.
Scott Bear coming up at 8:05. We'll get into your Sacramento Kings. At 7:35 in just about 15 minutes. Four down territory brought to you by Fire Wings. 21 different flavors to choose from. Firewings.com. Just wing it. Kyle Madsen, who was furiously doing something on the computer. That's why I was stalling there.
Someone suggested that I said that Draymond Green is better than Kevin Durant.
Well, you were responding to a text.
I did not say that.
I honest to God thought you like something stopped recording. So I was really vamping there.
Well,
you were responding to a text.
Yeah.
Okay. Question one.
Oh, that's annoying.
I said
the play made sense.
Did you get it taken care of though?
Yeah.
You need
I roasted them.
All right, roasted. Nice.
Okay, so now we're at the point where Le'Veon Bell is not reporting to the Pittsburgh Steelers.
He is not. That is a fact.
He's done for the year. Did Le'Veon Bell, knowing what we know now, make the right decision?
Yeah, it's an impossible question to answer, Kyle, and I'll tell you why.
Second out.
because in order to understand what is the right decision, we need to know what team he's going to play for next year. We need to know how much money he's going to make next year. We need to understand his motivations. In other words, if he ends up signing for the money he wants, but he's playing for insert bad team here and doesn't have a chance to win Super Bowls. Well, does that speak to his motivation about championship versus money? We don't know. And that's why I wrote the question with the answer being it's impossible to answer, because I don't think this saga is over. And it's not just about what team does he go to. It's about the future of Le'Veon Bell, how he performs while taking a year off. You get ring rust in boxing. Is he going to have field rust in the NFL, and how his career plays out? Will he continue to be an all-pro player? Will he get that money? Because this, at its best, is a groundbreaking precedent and an example for future players who are in this position, who are all going to watch very closely how Le'Veon Bell's situation turns out.
The only way this actually helps anything is if the franchise tag rule gets changed.
Yeah. Which it
should. Or else Le'Veon Bell is effectively just taking a year off.
Yeah, I
he says he's doing this for the players.
Right.
Like there's some, you know, good you know, I'll sacrifice this one season for the good of the rest of my fellow NFL players. And that's great. That's a fine sentiment.
Sure.
But ultimately, it's not going to matter if the NFL doesn't change its franchise tag rules.
Second down.
Second down.
Did the NFL do the right thing moving Chiefs-Rams out of Estadio Azteca and back to L.A.?
Yeah, I think they did. You have to protect the players first.
Yes.
I'm going to leave my mic and come up to you real quick. I told you earlier, everyone saw the pictures of that field being completely chewed up. And I mentioned Arash Makazi of ESPN and a few others were on the ground. And the pictures they put out were quite different. So I'm going to leave my mic.
Dave is walking over to me, and he's showing me a photo from maybe the press box of a field that doesn't look great, but it doesn't look as torn up as the viral photos that were going around.
Exactly. It's you can still see some brown patching, and obviously they need to have growth, and they have until Monday. Had until Monday. But ultimately, can they get the field to look pretty versus having people go out there? And here's where I know the NFL made the right decision. You have all kinds of fans that bought plane tickets and hotel rooms to go to Mexico City. This is devastating for a lot of people. It's not cheap to go to Mexico City, and hotel rooms aren't cheap. You have a lot of NFL fans flying from America who took time off of work, who are very, very angry at this. And I think the NFL, it's not like they got forced into this game. They wanted to have this game in Mexico City. So we can look at those pictures. But I think the NFL sent field experts out there. In fact, I know they did, and said, okay, they could probably get it to look good, but we need to know that when Kareem Hunt is trying to do a cutback, that he's not going to tear his ACL. These are very likely, not likely, but there is a good chance this is your Super Bowl. They're both 9-1.
19% odds. It's the best, but those are the best.
They're 18-2 combined. Yeah. So you can't screw around with this. You have to protect the players. And this is ultimately going to be a Rams home game anyways. You're just making it a Rams home game. In the end, I don't think the NFL wanted to move the game. I think they put it in Mexico for a reason, but they did that last summer. Had they known both teams would be 9-1 going into this game, I think they absolutely would have wanted this in Los Angeles. So I think they made the right decision, and I also think they were happy internally about the decision.
Yes. Yeah, they shout out to the NFL for finally actually putting player safety first. But they know they're not stupid. They put this in primetime. Everybody's going to be watching. And if a team goes and, like you said, Kareem Hunt or another star player gets injured on this turf,
or any player, but yeah,
you're going to have players and coaches not wanting to go play internationally anymore. It's just a bad look for everybody involved. So I think the NFL would rather deal with a handful of fans that made travel plans than deal with players and coaches.
I think the short take on this, we got to move on, is I don't give the NFL any credit in the end.
Okay.
Because I think, although it was the right decision, I think them wanting it in L.A., this is just a really good excuse for them to move it to L.A., which they wanted to anyways. I'm not giving them any credit for being good guys. Third down.
Fair.
Third down.
Okay, so now that it's moved to L.A., does that provide an advantage for the Rams?
Yeah. I mean, they're playing at home. They're playing in front of their home crowd. I don't, you know, Kansas City, I don't know how well they travel, but I know they're not Cowboy fan or Steeler fan or any of that. Yeah, it's their own locker rooms. They don't have to go on the road. They don't have to play at altitude, though they're training in altitude in Denver right now. So they're going to come back home and sleep in their own beds. They're not going to have to go through customs. They're not going to have to stay in Mexico City. It's a home game for them in the truest sense, and it should be. It really should be. I know it's not realistic, Kyle, to flex out games to Mexico City because of the logistics, but 2-9-1 teams should not be playing in Mexico City. I'm sorry. That should be the Jaguars and the Niners.
Yeah, and the Rams had been training in Colorado Springs. You're ready for the altitude. Now we're at normal altitude. It's as normal as a game can get, and that's what I think you want in this marquee matchup.
Yeah, I agree. Fourth down.
Fourth down. Fourth down.
Jumping over to college football, because I'm hell-bent on including college football.
Thank you.
Is anyone beating Alabama? I saw a thing yesterday that was pondering, is Georgia catching up to Alabama?
No.
Never
say never. We saw it with Auburn, Alabama a few years ago. We saw it with Clemson. And I will say this. I think Clemson is the only team with a chance, and I don't think they are going to. But Clemson, to me, that's the chance. That's what could. I do not see Georgia beating Alabama. I don't see that happening whatsoever. But Clemson and Dabo Swinney, and those teams have played each other now, or will be, you would think, I think 3 years in a row. I think other than Nick Saban, Dabo Swinney is the best college coach in the nation. I think he's a master strategist, and he has a way of motivating his Tiger players to play above their pay grade, if you will, for a college team. But I don't think so. This Alabama team is so damn good. And unless they have a day in the national championship or playoff game where they just choke, if it's mental, that's the only way I see him losing is mental, not on talent.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. And it's hard to see a Nick Saban coach team having a mental slip up in the biggest game of the year. It feels like it's Alabama, a ton of space, and then everyone else.
Last thing on that, you see these odds, and we saw it, I think, against the Bills. I saw yesterday Alabama versus the Raiders. The Raiders were, I think, 31.5
31.5 points.
And I still think that's low.
I talked to my buddy who's a sports bettor about that, or sports handicapper, I guess, is that his official title? He said that if the Raiders were favored by 31.5, the line would move heavily toward the Raiders.
Yeah, I think that line ends up being closer to 40 than it does 30 when it's all said and done. We got to take a break. Rich on the text line, I love you, but Rich has been trying to explain to me that why was I defending Draymond Green taking that shot? Rich, you're correct, except I was saying the opposite. I was saying Draymond Green should have passed the ball. He was guarded by four people.
I was also, I think people think I was defending it and saying it was the right play. I would have given it to Kevin Durant. I would have advised him to do that. But when you watch the replay, I'm saying you can see what he was seeing.
Sure. Can we disagree that you defended the play more than me?
Yeah.
Okay. Because I thought Draymond was being dumb on the play. And
yeah, he did the wrong thing for sure. But zooming all the way out, taking faces and names off players, he was making a basketball play that made sense to me.
When we come back, no Kings yesterday, no Kings today, no Kings tomorrow. So we're going to take a little 50,000 feet look at the Sacramento Kings in this young season. We have all kinds of questions for you, including we want to tell you the story real quick about the fan movement in Columbus, Ohio, Save the Crew, that's their MLS team, and how for the first time ever,
unprecedented,
a fan movement was able to save a professional sports team from moving.
A grassroots movement.
Grassroots.
To save
even.
A team.
Yeah, Save the Crew.
Wow.
Amazing.
Unbelievable. Hey, this is breaking news here from the 209, actually. Sources say that Draymond Green gave Kevin Durant a wet willy and a wedgie.
What?
Yeah, dude.
Wow, that's not a fake Woj account?
No.
You sure?
No, it's straight from the text line.
All right, we'll take a break. When we get back, Kings basketball, right here on Sports 1140 KHDK.
It's The Drive on Sports 1140 KHDK.
Scott Bear will join us at 8:05. talk a little Raiders, NBC Sports, California. All guests come to you via the Fire Wings hotline. 21 different flavors to choose from. Firewings.com. Just wing it. Sam Amick of The Athletic will join us at 8:05 tomorrow. He got Jimmy Butler traded. Can't wait to talk to him about that.
Was that your goal?
Was Jason March on with the lowdown yesterday, or is that coming up today?
I guess yesterday.
Was that yesterday? Hey, Damian, step off. That's my guy. That's two times in a row Jason March has been on with them.
Well, we should also address the fact that Damian called Jason March his new best friend forever.
Wow.
And listen, I thought I was Damian's best friend, but obviously.
I understand, trying to book a show and, doing all that, but that's my guy, okay? That is my guy. That's, Florida State University's Jason March, okay? Do I need to say anything else?
Well, yeah, everybody knows you went to Florida State.
Thank you.
That's what she said.
Thank you. So, just, never have what we have, Jason. Damian.
Did you just, that's what she said, you went to Florida State?
I don't know. I just wanted to play it. Let me clean up the text line here before we get into stuff. I don't know how this started on Twitter, but let me clear it up real quick because it's never going to happen. Dave, I would 1,000,000% support you being a guest on the broadcast team calling a Kings game with Doug Christie and Grant. Kings fans will love it.
They asked you to be a guest on the broadcast?
No,
that's really cool.
No, that will never, ever, 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 ever happen for many good reasons.
Number one.
I'm not good.
That was...
Number two.
That was done there.
It's on television.
Right. That
Thank
was
going
to be number one for me is
Children
they have
watch.
To show your face.
Thank
yeah.
you.
Like, makeup can only do so much.
Like, I could do it if, like, I had to wear one of those. Like, if I could do it in a T-Rex outfit, that's fine.
Oh, dude, that's the move.
That would be amazing.
You as a sideline reporter in the T-Rex outfit?
I mean, while Katie's out, I'm surprised.
You'd be so sweaty, dude.
I'm kind of surprised I haven't gotten a call yet. While Katie's out. Come on, Kings. What do you do? You're just not having a sideline reporter while she's out? What's going on? I'll go on the side. I'll do the sidelines for a game. Love it. But all my hits would be like at the snack bar. It's not what it's called. Concession
just,
stand.
Just crushing popcorn. And because you are the way that you are, you're just like, the Kings have no shot in this one, guys.
I'm just eating popcorn the whole time. Guys, I'm coming to you from Section 122, the only section where they have real movie theater butter for your popcorn. Come get it today. That would be all of my hits. All of them. Be like back in the locker room showing off the toilets. One thing that people don't realize is the toilets here are farm to fork. They're farm to fork bathrooms.
Dude, you just got fried on the text line.
I did. Let me see.
From the 916. And that's why they have you doing soccer number one, number two. Your face looks like Mr. Incredible. I'm Incredibles.
Oh my God. Should I leave the show now?
Yeah.
That's a good one.
Wow.
You got fried.
I better move on while I'm not crying. Hey, I mentioned this at the beginning of the show, and let me mention this real quick, and then we're going to get to the Sacramento Kings.
Yeah, we got to get into this.
My truck is parked out front right now. It is a silver Dodge Ram.
There's a spare key under the left front tire.
It's the truck with the Hoblet plates on it, obviously. I can't say met, but was made aware through Vicky with KCRA on social media yesterday about a guy named Dan who is up in the Chico Paradise area, 6'8", and he's worn the same pair of pants for a couple weeks now. He lost his home. He and I wear the same size pants. He's a little taller than me, but I got some longer stuff. So I got a big duffel bag in my truck filled with all kinds of stuff, and I'm taking it up to him right after the show today up in Chico. I was on the phone. I got his phone number. I was on the phone with him last night. He got into a tent yesterday and was able to sleep in a tent last night. Doesn't know if he's going to be able to use the tent tonight, and he was cold. So Dan needs a warm hat. Dan needs pants, of which he is a 38 or 40 waist, and as long as you can make him, again, he's 6'8". Dan needs socks. He needs a belt. That's the stuff Dan needs. And he was trying to get a sleeping bag yesterday with a donated Walmart gift card while I was on the phone with him, and it wasn't going through. I don't know if he got the sleeping bag or not. So my truck is out front. The studio's here at 280 Commerce Circle, right off of 160 at the Canterbury Road Leisure Lane exit. If you wish, if you have time on your way in, if you want to drop off anything for Dan, and if there's too much stuff for Dan to handle, I will make sure I will literally hand stuff out or put it in the right areas where they need stuff today. Just drop on by and just throw it in the back of my truck. That it's that simple. It's that easy. This isn't some big organized station event. It's throw stuff in my truck. I'm driving up there today after work and dropping stuff off to Dan. So there you go. Let's get into the Kings. I want to read this article, Kyle. Not the whole article, but I just want to make sure people are aware of it. You know, sometimes fans really can make a difference, even though you might think they can't. The SB Nation headline yesterday was hashtag save the crew. Got the team to stay put. Of course, talking about the Columbus Crew of the MLS. They were going to go to Austin. They're staying put in Columbus. Jimmy Haslam is going to take over the team. And the graphic says, quote, "This is the first time this has really happened in Major League Sports in America where fans have fought the system and won." And that's from Dave Miller, Director of Communications for Save the Crew, on how fans kept the owner from relocating the team.
His name is even Dave.
Columbus Dave. I read the article, and it was a fine article by somebody named Kim McCauley. And it just went through what these guys did. And a lot of it seems very familiar and recognizable. Now, here's the thing.
They drove a bus across the country.
All right. So we can do one of two things here. Now, let me say first. Anytime fans overcome adversity and are able to save their team, I'm a huge fan of that, no pun intended. And Save the Crew obviously did a fantastic job. And it is petty and silly to go, oh, yeah, well, you guys did that. Well, we obviously were making fun because there was that whole Here We Stay movement that a couple people are aware of. And the fact that the Sacramento Kings were going up against Seattle, Las Vegas, Virginia Beach, Anaheim, Microsoft, billions of dollars. And, oh, by the way, tiny little Sacramento at $525 million. That was the most expensive team in the NBA at the time. It seems silly now that every team's worth $2 billion, but once upon a time, yeah. And we saved not one, not two, not three, four relocations, possible relocations. We didn't have, but what's funny is we didn't have a communications director. We didn't have anything like that. It was just a bunch of people that just yelled and did rallies and we all the stuff that happened.
Your communications director was your Twitter app.
Right. I mean, we at one point had I won't even get into it, but remember the whole thing was called Here We Build. That was let me stop there. Here We Stay was there first. And I do not want this twisted into disrespect towards that. Here We Stay is what we use. I had come up with this hashtag Here We Build when we were taking the donations, when we were trying to raise season ticket money through Jiffy Lube and all that. So we used Here We Build. And the reason why Here We Build turned into, God, what was it? It's Here We Stay, Here We Build, and, Think Big. Okay, Think Big. The reason why it became Think Big and not Here We Build, and I've told the story before, is because some I will leave his name out. But some guy that I had met at one of our rallies who knew stuff about computers and opened up our Facebook and ran the Twitter account and all that, because I was way overwhelmed, ended up trying to get the city and Kevin Johnson were going to call it Here We Build. And right before, 2 days before the press conference, he sent them a letter saying, you can do it, but this is intellectual property. I'm going to need $350,000 out of the whole deal. Did I ever tell you that story, Kyle?
No.
$350,000. Guy wanted $350,000.
Hey, credit that guy. There was a bag to be secured, and that guy was going to secure
it. Bro. And I came up with the hashtag. I was like, oh, hold on. You were just trying to help our – you were doing the Facebook and the website like and props. But no one's making money. Oh, dude, you know – and it turned out this guy was kind of more of an anarchist than anything else. Like, that was his thing. It wasn't – it was about the, it was about the kings, but it was also about, like, fight the government and –
sure. Like, so he was going to stick it to him every chance he got.
You don't understand intellectual property. I do. You understand intellectual copyrights and all that. And this is property. And then it finally came down to it. I was like, well, hold on. It's if anything, it's my intellectual property.
Right.
And I don't want a penny for it. Like, what are you talking about? And it became this whole thing. And in the end, I don't know if I've ever explained this part before, but this, the powers that be ended up cobbling together a little bit of change for this guy. And we're like, okay, listen, we can't do any, we're not going to, the city's not paying for this, but we got a couple people to donate and this, that, whatever. I think it was like 25 grand or something, like nothing. He was like,
What?
And like, yes. And like lawyers got involved and I read the,
$25,000 for something you didn't even do.
Exactly. And, anyways, That's why I became think big. So to the whole save the crew people, like nothing against them. Actually, I applaud that whole movement and everybody involved. It's seriously good for you. To the SB Nation people, which is really where this came from. It's all good, but this is not the first time that a community has fought against owners and saved the team. And there it happened. And I can't help but think that if just one of the two documentaries made about this, of course, I'm talking about Down in the Valley, which was the local doc that I produced and with other people, and the 30 for 30, the Down in the Valley that will never see the light of day. If just one of those could have gotten out, we probably would not have had that thing. I mean,
this is not to crap on Columbus. Mm-hmm. Good on Columbus.
Great on Columbus. Seriously.
Like, fantastic. Bad on SB Nation for being like, this is the first time ever.
I just, you know.
An NBA team. A good NBA team.
Right. It just happened. Like, 5 years ago. Literally 5 years ago it
Not
happened.
Not that long ago. The city's already rolled up their sleeves to their freaking necks.
Right. The thing churning like a gas pump.
Let's run down these questions.
You think anybody in the Save the Crew thing like said this thing ain't over yet? Not by a long shot. You think anybody get up on a ladder? Where's the Save the Crew ladder? I almost didn't want to talk about this because it seems so petty.
But, oh, it's extremely petty.
But I'm not pissed about it. I'm really not. I'm pissed about it for everyone else. I'm not pissed about it from my perspective. I'm pissed right. about it for everybody in the community's perspective that's like, hey.
Well, I mean, who cares? The team's here. That's
yes.
The NBA recognizes that the Kings are in Sacramento. That's all. That's literally the only thing that matters.
From the 916 says, Down in the Valley get released once the Kings are good and getting nationally televised games. Since I get asked this question literally every day, and I appreciate you asking about one of those two or both of those docs, and there's really no place to ever put it since we're kind of on the subject here. No, it will never get released. It will never get released. I've talked to ESPN every single year since this thing was cut. I've had a phone call almost on the anniversary of it with somebody in ESPN that I won't mention, but is very, very high up in the 30 for 30 world. We have a conversation. It's very simple.
Is it Bill Simmons?
It's not Bill Simmons. It's the guy Bill Simmons used to work for. And here's exactly what it is. It's the KJ stuff. They bowed to the pressure. They don't want to put it out, and you can't remake it without KJ. You literally would have to start all over. Jason Hare, who is the director of the 30 for 30, who to this day is one of my best friends. You're going to see him and his work coming up in the Michael Jordan documentary, the 10-part series on Netflix, and we'll have Jason on here as soon as they release the gag off of him for the Jordan series. And Jason wouldn't do it. He wouldn't. It would have to be completely remade from scratch,
right,
incorporating everything else that has gone on. You can't just
cut the Kevin Johnson parts.
It is the center of the story as they told it. As far as the documentary we produced, that's very simple. The NBA donated the NBA footage to us for free so we could do it. That NBA footage at the time in 2013 was $10,000 every 10 seconds of footage. 10 grand.
That's amazing.
We raised the money, and Kevin Nagel funded the whole freaking thing pretty much. We weren't going to go to Kevin and be like, hey, can we get another like $600,000 for this thing when our budget was, you know, five figures, if that. And that was okay for us to show at the time, but we can't ever sell it or distribute it, or at least that's how it is right now, because once it crosses city lines or there's any sort of a profit for any reason, we've tried to do it nonprofit, we've tried everything, then we got to pay for it. So maybe we'll get Adam Silver on. We'll just ask Adam if we can just, can we just have the rights? Can we just have the rights so we can release it?
That's Let us get it.
All right, let's get into the Kings.
We got 4 minutes.
I know.
Let's fly down this list.
All right, grade Vlade Divac, Kyle.
I'm B.
B?
C plus.
Yeah, I'm going to give him an A right now, and that doesn't mean that that couldn't be a D plus by the end of the year. But as we stand right now, right this second, and not for Marvin Bagley.
Oh, okay. I was going full body of work.
Yeah, I'm going where this team is right now. Vlade has made very imperfect moves, many of them. One of which may have been Marvin Bagley. We don't know, and we don't know about Harry Giles. Here's what I do know. This entire roster has been constructed by him. Willie Cauley-Stein, who is the longest tenured King, was his first draft pick. He has put together a team that is happy, that are playing for each other. The culture here is fantastic, and they're above 500.
Okay, that's fair.
That doesn't mean it couldn't change. But right now,
the trajectory says A.
Says A.
Cool.
Next question.
Great Dave Yeager.
I should have given Vlade a B because I don't want to give him both A's, but I want to give Dave Yeager an actual higher grade than Vlade. I think Dave Yeager has been just
A plus.
Amazing this year, and I think he was amazing last year. I think a lot of people looked at some of his rotations and looked at some of the guys they played, like Justin Jackson, frustrates a lot of people. Here's what I look at. I look at the fact that last year he had a lot of very proud veterans, one of which is a Hall of Famer, two of which are probably Hall of Famers, who actually agreed to step aside, and Zach Randolph and Vince Carter, who agreed to step aside. What, you don't think Zach's a Hall of Famer? He might not be. Give me a look.
I don't think Zach Randolph is,
okay,
but keep going.
One and a quarter Hall of Famers.
Okay.
He was able to get I give Dave Yeager a baseline of a C for last year as well, simply for how the locker room was, simply for how positive it was. And it's very difficult to put into terms, into stats, Kyle, how much having Vince Carter and Zach Randolph and Kosta Koufos around helped guys like De'Aaron Fox, who helped a lot of these young guys. But I can't help but think that part of De'Aaron Fox's development and maturity as a player is due in part to conversations with Zach Randolph, to conversations with Vince Carter, and understanding how to carry himself as a pro. But we'll never be able to quantify that. His rotations this year, the way he's trying to figure things out, the fact that he's inserted Bielitsa into the lineup, letting Willie Cauley-Stein go and forcing them to run the pace that they're running, I think he's doing a fantastic job, and I think there's a reason why he's on everybody's shortlist for Coach of the Year if the season ended today. Next question.
At what point does Vlade look at making a trade to improve the squad?
I think he has to start looking at it on December 1st. I think if this team is within striking distance, plus or minus two games of being 500, that is, and I'll cover the next question we have too in this same one, which is, what is your King's belief point? At what point are you going to allow yourself to actually start believing this team could make a run at the playoffs? I think this team on the upside is going to be either at 500 or just above. That's not a playoff team in the Western Conference. I think all eight seeds are going to be above 500. I think all eight seeds are probably going to have somewhere around 45 to 50 wins. Last year, I think the eight seed had 47 wins. So I don't think there's really a realistic road for them to make the playoffs, but I'm talking about being a 500 team. That, to me, is the belief point I'm talking about, and that's going to be December 1st. And I think if they get through the tough part of their schedule and Vlade, with the money he has, says, you know what, we're not going to be the only team with money this summer, but we are the only team with money right now, so we're the ones in the catbird seat. I think maybe just like in Major League Baseball where they go out and they get an arm or they get a bat to help them down the stretch run, I think maybe that's where he looks Also, when you have teams that maybe are giving up on the season, that are focusing on the draft, that want to rebuild, it's clear it's not working out. That's usually around December, January when teams start realizing that. You might see guys like Otto Porter or Kelly Oubre or Andrew Wiggins. That's when you're going to see those guys start going on the block. And I think if the Kings are around 500 at that point through this month, I think that's where Vlade goes, yeah, I'm going to make my move right now.
I agree with you. So that's your belief point is December 1?
December 1. December 1, I look at that. When we go into that game against Phoenix, that's let's reassess right there, and that's when we'll be able to figure it out. We'll take a break. Scott Baer of NBC Sports California will join us next. We'll ask him about the Raiders, Derek Carr, that whole process, and what happened on that fourth down play at the end of the game. We'll get our update there. And then Kyle Madsen, 835, has a question about Bill Belichick, and if he became available, if Belichick became available, how many teams would fire their head coach and replace them with Bill Belichick on, let's say, a four-year deal?
That's not exactly the question.
It's exactly the question, Kyle.
No.
All right, Kyle will tell you what. Kyle will tell you exactly what the question is coming up at 8:35. See, that's a tease. We're back with Scott Baer next, Sports 1140 KHTK.